This is poetry from Studio 47. Welcome. Today's poet is W.B. Yeats. William Butler Yeats was born on June 13, 1865, in Sandymount, Ireland. Even if you know nothing of Yeats's work, I suspect you've heard of his name, and there is a good reason for this. He is not only one of the most influential Irish poets of all time, but he had a significant effect on 20th century poetry. So who was William Butler Yeats? Well, from an early age, he was fascinated by Irish legends, myth, spiritualism, astrology, theosophy, and the occult. In 1877, at the age of 12, he matriculated into the Godolphin School in London. He wasn't an academic child, and his report cards listed him as only fair. After this, he entered Erasmus High School in Dublin, where he started writing poetry. Some of his early works were influenced by romantic poets like John Keats and William Wordsworth. The great love of Yeats's life was a woman named Maud Gonne. Although she was English, she had a strong belief in Irish nationalism. In fact, Yeats proposed to her 5 times, and she said no every single time. In short, she broke his heart. I mention this because, for Yeats, Maud Gonne was Ireland. She was his muse. To his horror, she married a man named John McBride. He, too, believed in Ireland, a free Ireland, free of British rule. When the Easter Rising of 1916 happened in Dublin, that's when Irish rebels took up arms against the British in the hopes of founding an independent Irish nation, McBride joined the uprising. He was captured by the British, taken to Kilmainham Jail in Dublin, and on May 5, 1916, he was placed before a firing squad. Ireland didn't gain its freedom in 1916, but it did in 1921. When Ireland formed its own government, William Butler Yeats was elected as a senator. In fact, he was put in charge of creating Irish money. The designs he chose are still beautiful to look at, but they're no longer in circulation because Ireland, of course, is now a part of the European Union. If you get a chance, it would be worth Googling Irish coins to see what they look like. His many books include The Wanderings of Oisin, The Countess Kathleen and Various Legends and Lyrics, In the Seven Woods, Responsibilities and Other Poems, The Wild Swans at Cool, The Tower, The Winding Stair, among many, many others. In December 1923, Yeats was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature, and he became the first Irish writer to achieve this honor. He would later marry a woman named Georgie Hyde Lees, and they lived out the rest of their lives in Torbellie, which is a castle near Galway. During his lifetime, he founded the Abbey Theatre in Dublin. He became a major figure in the Irish literary revival, and it's very hard to imagine Irish literature without his influence. He was, however, a man of great contradictions. For example, although he chafed at British rule and British aristocracy, he had sympathy for authoritarianism and nationalistic movements. In the 1930s, he was drawn to fascism. And while he was fascinated by the spirit world and the occult, he was also a senator who understood the hard realities that his new country was facing. He died on January 28, 1939. Yeats is buried near a famous mountain in the west of Ireland called Benbulben. He wrote his own epitaph, and it has bewildered and stumped visitors for years. To be honest, it's a bit of an enigma. It reads simply, "Cast a cold eye on life, on death. Horsemen, pass by." Today's poem is The Second Coming. This is one of his most famous poems, and it's often held up as an example of modernist poetry. Although it's a relatively short poem, only 22 lines, it nicely captures the feeling of Europe after World War I. For people in 1919 and 1920, when this poem was written, it must have felt like enormous and unstoppable change was coming. The war was over, yes, but monarchies had fallen, the Soviet Union had been founded, the pandemic of 1918 was ravaging the world, and for Yeats, there were rumblings of a looming Irish Civil War. This particular poem captures the birth of an apocalypse. Everything is about to change, and for Yeats, it might not be changing for the better. Towards the end of this poem, he talks about a rough beast slouching towards Bethlehem, which is, of course, where Christ was born. It almost seems like the Antichrist is moving towards Bethlehem. There's one word here which might be new for some listeners. It's gyre. That simply means a spiral or a vortex. This is The Second Coming by William Butler Yeats. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. The second coming. Hardly are those words out when a vast image out of Spiritus Mundi troubles my sight. Somewhere in sands of the desert, a shape with lion body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as the sun, is moving its slow thighs, while all about it reel shadows of the indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again, but now I know that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born.
Poetry from Studio 47 is hosted and curated by Patrick Hicks. This episode was recorded at Augustana University and produced by Peter Folliard. Thank you for listening.